In the book of Jeremiah, I was trying to think of this morning. You know, every one of us we've been saved at some point in our lives. I mean, and when I mean saved, I mean born again, as in John chapter 3, it says, born again. We've all given our hearts and lives to Him. And when we did that, it says that we became what? Children of God. Now you might say, well, Pastor, we were not children of God before that. No, we weren't. When we get saved and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we say, Lord, come into my life, lead me and guide me, and I will live for you from this day forward, we are accepting Jesus as our Savior. We are saying, God, I agree with you that Jesus is the only way to heaven. God, I agree with you that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I accept Jesus into my heart. And from that day forward, the book of Jeremiah talks about clay being put upon a turning wheel. And it says that the potter takes that clay and is trying to make something. And what really the scripture is talking about is emulating what the Father is to us. And from that time period, He puts our lives upon that wheel as a potter. And He takes His hands and He starts to mold and make us into the image of His Son. The hands of the Father, or is the Spirit of God working in us and through us so that we become what God wants us to be. And the Spirit of God works in our hearts and works in our lives to change us, because we have a lot of changing that needs to happen in us. And so God starts to work in us. And we know as a potter works with the clay trying to make a pot or something, that there are things in it that have to be taken out. And he has to add some stuff in it to make that clay what it needs to be or what he wants it to be. And the only one that knows what that clay should be is the potter that's molding it. Jesus is the only one that knows what we need to be and what he's desiring us to be. And he knows what has to be taken out, what things are in there, and what he has to add in it so that we can become what God desires and wants us to be. We should never think, the thought should never go through our minds that we have arrived and that we are where God wants us to be, arrived. Now, we need to be on the path of where God wants us to be, but we should always remember, as humanity, there's always a work for God to do in us. Always. Always. Because even when we think we've gotten there, there's stuff that God will let happen to us so that we see what's in our hearts. And sometimes we may not like what we see in our hearts. But I tell you what, it's a great thing to find out what's in our hearts so that we can allow the Spirit of God to move in us and to change us and make us into what He desires and wants us to be. Great men of old, God had to prepare them for future events. Great men and women. Moses, God had to work in his life so that he could be a great leader for the children of Israel. Moses thought he was ready long time before God said he was ready. And God had to work in him. Noah thought he was ready. And God had to work in his heart and life so that he would be ready to build the biggest boat ever at that time and to house humanity and all of the animals that God would bring into it. God had to work in John's life. Thank God. John is the one that wrote the book of Revelations. Thank God. On the Isle of Patmos, by himself. Thank God. You know, sometimes we don't like to go through the things that we go through in life, huh? But always remember, it's preparation for the future, good or bad. Good or bad. You might say the good, that's by the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's doing. The bad, God turns it around because we make some wrong decisions at times. And maybe we might do something that's not right. But God can still take the mistakes of humanity and turn them around for our good and for his good and still work in our hearts and lives. See, the main goal of God is to work in us so that we can accomplish his will upon the earth, so we can become what he desires us to become. See, Moses couldn't be the leader of Israel 30 years before or 40 years before. God had to bring him through the desert places, and God had to work in him to make him humble before him. And when he was humbled before God, God brought him back to the place where he grew up and said, "Go with a staff and deliver my people." And God used that man for tremendous things. God used that man to save the children of Israel. God used that man to see mighty miracles happen upon the earth. The opening of the Red Sea and all kinds, the water coming out of the rocks and the water turning good after a tree fell in it. All kinds of things. The children of Israel saw the miracle working power of their God. And people, we're living in the same time where the power of God wants to move upon a generation like he's never moved before. He's waiting for us. He's saying, "Come to me. Show me that you're ready. Show me that you want it. Show me that you desire a mighty move of God, and you will see it." God is wanting to deliver his people out of bondages. Bondages in the heart area. And I say the heart, you know, the inner being of us. Bondages in our minds. That the devil has strongholds. But I tell you, the blood of Jesus has broken those things as he died upon that cross, people. He broke it. And as we rely upon him and what he's done at Calvary's cross. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 33, if you would. Now, this is familiar, talking about David and Goliath. Familiar, yes. But God says to remind ourselves of the Word of God. It should be rolling in our minds continuously, the Word of God. Because it becomes alive and it seeps deep within our spirit. But look at this. Verse 33. Now, before I read it, David was going to bring food and stuff to his brothers that were at a place where they were fighting the Philistines. And they had a big gulf in the middle. And on one side was the children of Israel, God's people. And on the other side of the big gulf, it was a big gulf between them. That means they'd have to run down, and it was mountainous, so people would get hurt. And on the other side, you know, the children of Israel this side, and the other side the Philistines. And every day it says that Goliath, which was he was a giant. would come out and curse the God of Israel. And all these folks on the other end, the children of Israel, most of them, just would take it. They wouldn't say much. They wouldn't do much. But this God would come out every day and curse the children of Israel, curse their God, and say, send somebody to fight me. And whoever wins will be servant of the other. And so here David was gone, orchestrated by the Spirit of God. Always remember that. As we put our hand, our lives in the hands of God, God orchestrates our lives. Everything. For whatever reasons, good or bad. Now, sometimes we make bad decisions. We still orchestrate by the Spirit of God, and God turns those things around for our good, as the Scripture says. But as David is going there to see his brothers, he hears this guy come. Now, orchestrated by God, right when David didn't know this guy comes out every day, more than once a day, to curse the children of Israel and their God. David's walking into the camp, and all of a sudden he turns around, and this giant of a guy, 7, 8, 9, 10 feet tall, coming out and cursing the children of Israel, and David gets upset. How dare this guy come out and curse my God? Have you ever been to, you know, maybe a family event or at work or wherever you are, and for some reason you're just talking and you hear somebody, damn God? What happens in your spirit? It cringes. Because they're damning the God that you love. And they may not know that actually that's what they're saying. Most of the time, they, because of profanity that flows out, you know, it's in their heart. But they may not realize it, that when they say those two words together, it damns the God that we serve. And I know my spirit cringes. You know, sometimes you can say something, sometimes you can't, you know, whatever circumstances. But that's how David felt. He cringed on the inside because God had been preparing him in the past to face the future of this God. Now look, let's get on to the scriptures. Look at this, verse 33. And Saul said to David, Saul was the king. He didn't want to go fight this guy, but that's okay. You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And really, this was correct. This is truth. What he said was truth. You're just a youth. That's right. People will say, well, you're just Joe. How can you start that church or start this and do this? But you see, just you and God makes a difference. Just you and God calls makes a difference. Just you and God professes it from heaven above, from the throne room of God, it makes you a majority to get it done. And we cannot worry about what people say. We got to worry about our God and what he's commanding. And what he commands, we do by the Spirit of God as we rely upon him. As a person, as an individual, as we pray and we seek God and God puts things upon our hearts. We ask God for wisdom. We ask God to show us how to do it. And when God shows and God comes upon the scene, we act upon those things and it is done by the Spirit of God. There's always success when we follow the Spirit of God. You might say, well, always? You will always have success when you follow what the Word of God says. Always. You will always have success in your marriage when you follow what the Scripture says. You will always have success upon your job when you follow what the Scripture says. You will always have success with your family and your friends and your children when we follow what the Scripture says.
Always.
100% of the time. Always. That's why God says study. Old Slewfoot says, you're too tired, don't study. Oh, that hit me. It hits. Hey, look, I know how it is. Let me tell you, I know how it is to get up early in the morning, head off to work, do a work, do 8-9 hours, come back, tend to things at home, read, study. Do. I know how tired it can be. I know it. I know it. But let me tell you, this needs to be a priority. Getting that word in our hearts and lives needs to be a priority with us. Studying it, asking God to show us the scriptures, getting it in our hearts and lives. Turn that old TV off sometime. Oh, what was that? Somebody said yes? Amen. God. You know, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with TV, you know, if it's done in the right way. You know, there's nothing wrong with entertainment of sports if it's done in, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't let it become first. Don't let it become first. The priority of God's word and his spirit and seeking him should be first in our lives because we are his children. We want to feed that spirit man on the inside of us. And David said to Saul, verse 34, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and killed him. Now, David is a shepherd. He's tending to his sheep. The father is his father, like God is our father. David's tending the sheep. And the father says, okay, now it's time. All orchestrated by the Spirit of God, let's send in the lion. And let me tell you, there's lions that try to come into our lives too. He said, send in the lion, because David's ready. And look, he's just a youth though. Huh? God's preparing him to kill the Philistine, to kill the Goliath. And that old lion, orchestrated by the Spirit of God, comes in and grabs and snatches one of the sheep. David sees it, runs after it. He doesn't run away from it. They didn't have guns that he could shoot it. So he went after him. And he took him by the beard, took the lamb or the sheep out of his mouth and killed that lion. Now, don't you think that lion was a big lion? Yes, he was. He had a big growl. He was fierce. He's the king of the jungle. But God says when the Spirit of God is upon us, we can kill the king of the jungle by the Spirit of God. And God was preparing David for the future. An old bear came in one day. Orchestrated what? By the Spirit of God. To come in and take one of David's sheep. Well, that bear got a hold of one. David saw it. David went after that bear, killed that bear, took that sheep out of his mouth. God orchestrated it because he knew that as the lion came in, as the bear came in, that David would come in and kill those two things. Now, it might have happened more than once. They just said bear lion. Could have happened more than once. We know that, huh? And other animals, too. That David would smoke them and kill them, and God was preparing David for the future. We need to realize this. David was on the potter's wheel. Ooh, and God said, ooh. Let's put the bear in there. Okay, can you picture it? And God's forming it. And God says, okay, now David, take care of that bear. He took care of it. The lions came in. He took care of it. People, even when hardships or hard things come our way, God is allowing it for the future of our lives. To show us how to sharpen our swords. To show us how to sharpen the knives that he gives us so we can conquer the enemy in the future that comes against us. So we can be ready to take care of those things that God has in the future for us. Because he knows, you know, no one knows the future besides what's written in the Word of God about the future, what's coming upon the earth. God is coming and we're doing whatever. We know those things because of the Word. But no one knows the future of tomorrow except God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Lucifer does not know. He doesn't know the future for our lives. The demons in hell don't know your future. They try to orchestrate it if they can and bring destruction upon humanity. But they don't know it. Only God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knows the future for us. For us. The scripture says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. A lot of people like to stop there. Okay? That's good. But we shouldn't stop because there's a lot more in there. To them who love him, all things work together for good to them who love him and are called according to his purpose. I know every one of us, we've given our hearts to the Lord. We love our God. And we have been called by God according to his purpose. Everybody has different callings of whatever it is. Called by God. You might say, well, I don't have a calling of, you know, the fivefold ministry, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers in Ephesians. But that's not all the callings. There's helps. There's all kinds of things. You've been called to be God's child, to be a prayer warrior, to help, to do what God wants done in this area. Preparing us for the future. Preparing you for the future. God was preparing David to take care of those things in his life that would come up. Verse 36. Let me read that again. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them. Man, y'all caught that? David said, that Goliath over there that's cursing my God will be like a bear or a lion to me, and I will kill him. Look, it's time we as Christians stand up for the things of God. We stand up against the powers of the enemy. Because I tell you what, the enemy's out there destroying families, destroying people and their lives. You know, you hear of so many people that are taking their lives. I mean, it's so staggering to me that it blows me away because they've come to the place of despair, that they see no other way out. And I'm not just talking about people that don't know God. I'm talking about people that know God, that have been saved, that have been born again, that they get to the place of so much depression that they see no way out. And I'm sure not blaming them at all. But my God, God has made a way out. To look to him. To look to him to see for a way out that God can bring towards their lives. And David, verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Oh, Saul, I tell you what. If he knew that would be forever written in Scripture about him, how he was too afraid to do his work. That should have been Saul's job, to get in there and kill that Goliath. But God saw in the future that he would not do it. So in the midst of God taking care of the children of Israel, like just in the midst of taking care of our families and our church and our and you as an individual, God in the past was taking care of that Goliath because he was preparing David to kill him. God takes care of us, people. God takes care of those things that we seem to think will destroy our lives, or we seem to think that will destroy everything. God will take care of those things as we rely upon him and we give it to him. As we give it to him, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God prepared David to kill Goliath. God prepares us to kill the Goliath in our lives. I know probably each and every one of us here, don't raise your hand. I'll raise mine, okay? But every one of us has some things that God is working on. Thank God. That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do, the Holy Spirit. Work in us, work in our attitudes. Work with our anger. Work with bitterness or strife or hatred. Just working in us and gently taking care of those things in our lives because he loves us. You know, he just doesn't work in us because he's saying, I want you to see how awful you are. Maybe some of us might need to see how awful we are, you know, individually. But he's doing it because he loves us. You know, the scriptures, John 3:16, which we love that scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave. The love of the Father towards his children outweighs anything upon this earth. His love for us. His love for us. It still amazes me. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, between verse 1 and verse 2, something happened between those two verses. Just roll in from 1 to 2. There was a time period of horrible things that happened upon the earth. People think that's the time period where the dinosaurs and all that were here upon the earth. And all that happened, and destruction came, and the downfall of Lucifer, who was in God's army, but he wanted to be greater than God, and God cast him down from heaven to the earth and took care of him. And a third of the angels of God rebelled against God, my God. But two-thirds stayed with God. There was a major thing that happened there. Major. With all those things, from the dinosaurs to all the animals to the angels that even God has created and made. I mean, there's like 3 or 4 different kinds of angels that we know of in the scripture. That through all of that, God still puts humanity, mankind, first. No other beings that we know of, no other things that he has made have been in the likeness of him. We're made like him, in the image of the Father, in the image of him, that he loves us so much that he, if it takes 5 years for us to overcome something in our lives, he will stay at that wheel, turn the table, just keep turning, and keep working. Keep adding the water that needs to be added. He will take 10 years to keep working. Because you know why? He's a faithful God. And he's faithful to his people. He loves us. He loves everything about us. He loves us because we're made in his image. and he does not want to lose one soul. So as we are on that table, and that table's turning, the wheel's turning, he keeps adding the water so that it stays pliable to him, and the hands of God keep working in our hearts and lives. And he never gives up. Never gives up. We may give up on our own selves, or we may give up on people sometimes. You know, we say, well, they made their bed, let them sleep in it, you know, and we just give up, you know. God never gives up on us. We may fail. He says, get up. We ask forgiveness. He keeps on working. He keeps on working. And he's saying, Joe, you can do it. Joe, you can make it. Put yourself in there, okay? Your name. I want you to do this. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of those things. And we step out in faith and do what God says as he's working on us. And the most pleasurable thing is this. We never get off of the wheel. You might say, oh my God. I know. Thank God. That he continues to work in us. You know, when you think of Rahab, what do you think? What's the first word that comes to your mind? Rahab. Harlot. That's been ingrained in our hearts, huh? In our lives as Bible people. Rahab the harlot. I mean, you say Rahab. I mean, you don't hear, I mean, I don't know of one person named Rahab. You know, yeah, I'm going to name my child Rahab. What? Might want to change it, you know. But she was the one out of that whole city that helped the two spies, Joshua and Caleb. Don't you think God could have chose anybody else? He could have. He chose her, the harlot of the city. Let me put it in our terms, the prostitute of the city. Okay? That's what it was. The prostitute. She was the one that women looked down on, men looked down on, whatever. She was the trash of the city. They could care less about her, but there was a God in heaven that saw her. There was a God in heaven that said, I can do a work. And we don't know. Maybe she cried out to God. Obviously, something happened. Something happened. She lived in the right house at the right time, in the right place, and God did a miracle. And those two spies, Joshua and Caleb, as they went spy out the land, they came to her and they said, look, since you protected us because the people in the city want to kill them, said, look, put a red cord representing the blood of Jesus upon your door or window. And when we come in, because you see, she heard how God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And she said, I know your God is real and I know he's alive. That's just our terms. And they said, put the red scarlet, the rope on the window. And when we come in to destroy this city, as God gives it in our hands, we will see it and we will remember. Rahab, the harlot, was a child of God. And even in the end, she became a part of the seed of David. Y'all, that's God. To take a harlot, a prostitute that had been used by men. And you might say, well, how could God do that? You know, till we in desperate times, and I'm sure she was in a desperate place and needed money. And I'm not saying that's any reason. But God took her. When they came in, they didn't destroy her home or anything, and they took her. After all things were destroyed, they took her back to the children of Israel, and God changed her heart. God changed her life. And she became in the lineage of David, Jesus. David and Jesus and all that. That's God. It doesn't matter, if you want to put it in that vernacular, how bad it gets. God is still using and making us into what he wants us to be for the future. The future is always before us, no matter what. God is making us today what he wants us to be for tomorrow and for next year and for 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 50, if we go that long. God used that woman, people. And here David went out. And you know what's amazing? David, when that Goliath came up and was cursing the children of Israel, David didn't, they tried to put armor on him, but it didn't work. We can't put on somebody else's stuff. David didn't sneak down, because he was a youth, kind of small, to try to get to Goliath, to sneak up on him and use a javelin or something to kill him. David came out because he had been prepared because of the lions and the bears and all that stuff. He came out. He said he took five stones. He took his slingshot. Sorry about that. I'm thinking of other things. Slingshot, put one in it, and what did he do? He started running. And at first, old Goliath was looking. He starts laughing. That youth, that's who's gonna represent you? That's how they look at Jesus, the world. You're Jesus? That's who's gonna represent you? Yes, he will. And you're gonna see his power. And it says that David started running, and he had that sling in his hand. Put one rock in it, and he let it go. And you know, as he let it go, he still was running. And that rock, the hands of God. The hands of God and the angels of God came. Right in the forehead. Sunk into his head so far. And it says that it killed him instantly. And he fell over. And David, as when he got to him, took his sword. He could barely lift it up. And he chopped his head off. And he took his head and he said, children of Israel, look. And then turned to the Philistines' army. Look. And when they saw that their man was down, they said, we better do something. And instead of being servants to the children of Israel, it says they started killing themselves. Because they didn't want to be subjects unto the children of Israel. Let me tell you what. As we rely upon him, God will kill the Goliaths in every one of our lives that we're battling with. Let's just put our faith in him. Let the Spirit of God work. Stay on that wheel. Don't get off. Let him work. The master working. The master working. That can make Rahab a harlot. That was a harlot. She made herself one. But make her into a woman that was in the lineage of Jesus. My God. My God. God can renew. God can reform. God can make new all things in our hearts and lives as we allow him to do so. Let the Spirit of God do it. Remember the past he's working on to help us make us into what he wants us to be in the future. To kill the enemy, to destroy the works of the enemy, and to allow God to do his will upon the earth. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God you serve. Amen. You may stand, please. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. Jesus. As we stand, I want to ask each and every one of you, do you know Jesus? If you don't know him, I want to give you a chance to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know him and you'd like to give your heart to him this morning, would you please raise your hand so I'll know? Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. Father, I thank you for your people. Father, these are great people you've given unto me, Lord. And I thank you for them. Lord, work in their hearts and lives. Help them to be what you want them to be. Prepare them for the future, Lord God. Work in them and through them, Lord, and help them to accomplish your will. Father, I pray that you will protect all the men in their homes, all the wives in their homes, all the children, Lord God. Protect them physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Lord God. Thine will be done in their hearts and lives this day. And I give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may look this way. Look, I want to tell you, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you. And we love you. And we pray you have a great week. Don't forget Wednesday night's Bible study in the little building across the street.